lights were dim. I guess he means mentally. We all go through it, brother.
And y'all.
And this is a perfect segue into what I want. Another thing I wanted to talk about today was the CRT.
Smoke and fucking mirrors, bro.
Yeah, smoke and mirrors. Basically, basically what we were saying. A fucking theater.
Yeah.
So fucking. But that's a perfect segue into what I was. Another thing I wanted to talk about was the CRT. CRT. Like I say, no one knows really what it is. It's not taught in no schools any fucking where. But this topic becomes so fucking political, and it's also driving the political races. You got people winning, they're winning whole fucking seats behind this CRT shit, talking about, oh, they're teaching my kids this stuff and I don't want them to teach them this stuff. And it's really just politics. It's all the way only politics only. And it's just to like make these people mad or make these people mad or whatever, whatever, whatever. It's just to get votes. CRT is going to be used for this 2022 election, and it will be used in 2024. And I ain't going to lie, the Republicans are finna clean the fuck up using this shit. They finna clean up.
Yeah. Which they probably should anyway, but I mean, for other reasons than CRT. But however, you know,
that's like, gonna be that's the hot button topic. But that's what makes me it makes me sad. It makes me so sad that nobody. First off, it's not being taught in any schools.
It's not even a thing. Well, it's obviously a thing. I mean, like, they've been teaching it in law classes in some colleges or whatever. So it's a thing. It's been taught somewhere. Why do they choose to bring it to the elementary?
That's what I'm talking about. It's not a thing for K through 12. It's not a thing for K through 12.
But
at all.
It can become a thing. So that's why it's something that's being talked about. So, but what is the whole thing is, what is the importance of it? Why now we pushing, or they're pushing for this in, you know, I don't know,
because they want to, because they want to take over the school curriculums. Like, it wasn't enough to, you know, they created all these charter schools and these private schools and these religious schools, and they get to control the curriculum in those private schools. That's what another thing people have to watch history, because things don't happen overnight. This has been a thing for a while. Betsy DeVos. Y'all know who Betsy DeVos is?
Yeah, that was the education.
Thank you.
For Trump, yeah.
For Trump. And that's what she was, that was what she, you know, her family, rich as fuck. But what they do is charter schools. Like, that's what they do. And they're all about, like, it's evangelical is involved in this. Like, it's religious to them, because they don't, you know, they want to have control over the school curriculums. So that's what Betsy DeVos is all about. And they put her in charge of fucking the Secretary of Education. And so she was doing her thing the whole time when Trump was in there. And so what I'm saying is, this has been coming this way. This is what they're doing with the CRT, is they want to manipulate all of the curriculums in K through 12 to make sure that it doesn't. What they're doing is, they passed a law here in Texas where everything, whenever you talk about history, it has to be neutral. And you can't talk about gender biases, and you can't talk about racial biases, or, you know, so that's what it is. So it makes it more difficult for the teachers to teach, especially history, because they got to tiptoe around this fucking law that'll fucking get them in trouble.
So is that what the, I mean, because, I mean, that doesn't sound like the same thing as the CRT.
Exactly! That's what I'm trying. I don't think you really get it. I don't think you get it, Pat. I don't think you get it.
What you mean?
They're using CRT to manipulate the curriculum in K through 12. And CRT is not taught in K through 12 at all. But they're using that as an excuse to take, like I say, they're taking Toni Morrison books. They're taking books that's been in the school system for years and years and years, and they're pulling them now, and they're calling them CRT. You can't even talk about Martin Luther King. I was watching today. I got a video on this.
Okay, and that's fine. I mean, but my whole thing is, okay, somebody's pushing for the CRT. There's, you know, which I'm going to say is the Democrats. They're pushing for the CRT. And a lot of Republicans or conservatives, they're pushing against it. So my thing is how it came about. I mean, people, period, I guess, because, I mean, even myself, I find it kind of hard that, okay, this whole CRT doesn't seem to be as beneficiary, as beneficial.
If they've sold you on this shit. It's unless not you don't topic.
Even you're not even listening. Go ahead. I didn't think. Because my whole thing is, and maybe it's the same thing with the whole the way that they identify the defunding the police. Maybe it's just a bad way because see, I'm being very specific about certain things that, you know, you getting triggered because you think I don't understand. I have a kid in school right now that I want to understand our history, the mysteries of our history. Like, I want him to understand this, and not just for me, because I can't, you know, I can't get into depth with it. But if, you know, we're honest enough as people to teach truth, then there's nothing, you know, because, like, at some point, these white kids... Okay,
I'll play that little part back again, because I need y'all to hear that, because this is the law that they passed in Tennessee, and they passed one very similar here in Texas. 21.
A new law in Tennessee went into effect that is being called...
Not old, bro.
...race theory, but it's far more sweeping. In addition to prohibiting lessons that anyone of any race or sex is inherently privileged or oppressive, consciously or subconsciously, it also bans teaching any concepts that would make someone feel discomfort, guilt, anguish, or distress solely because of the individual's race or sex.
Okay, so that's the point. That's the point. Okay, now we can talk. What y'all got to say?
Man, say, bro. It's, to me, I feel like the struggles that we've gone through as black people with the way that they taught history is what they're trying to avoid for their kids. Like, things that we've had to always accept, or,
you know, like watching the slavery movies every fucking 5 minutes. We get to be reminded every fucking day that our ancestors, well, some of our ancestors, was slaves, and they tell us that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. What kind of trauma do you think that has on the child, the little black child?
But, you know, that's see, to me, I think even with because they have the 1619 project attached to this whole CRT, from what I've been seeing, and that to me also kind of plays more into that whole slavery mindset, because honestly, if we go back to 1492, where that's where the beginning of most of the fall, the true fall, where we can see the faults on both sides, because even before that,
and our kids are only taught that our kids are taught that our history started with slavery.
Well, and that's where that whole 1619, and they didn't even, like, they don't mention, because honestly, that those were, I mean, status-wise, those were black people. Can't even say that they were African. These were people that came from Europe that showed up in Virginia, 1619. But, I mean, that doesn't work well with their story, so they keep giving that idea that this, you know, these were indentured servants, these people that were criminals from Europe that first showed up. And then,
they leave that out. That,
they leave all the real details, because they've given the idea that all slavery was black people. And that's what makes it fit best to that. Because that's why I say the whole thing about, you know, because, like I said, both both sides have great arguments, but at the same time, like, there has to be some kind of middle ground where, like, we're just being honest. Like,
just,
I mean,
be honest.
Whatever happened, happened.
The data. And that's what I be talking about all the time, because that's what I'm about. I'm all about data. And if it hurts, it doesn't hurt. It hurts, it doesn't hurt. It's the data.
They don't want to give up, because, see, like, one of the things, like, if they give too much honesty, like, they have to realize or show that majority of black people ran this country before they came, before 1776, when they created their own, or adopted, shall I say, they took what we were doing in our own government so that they can have a government of our own, of their own, in 1776, and then, you know, perpetuated this whole slavery mindset. Because yes, there were some black people that came over you know, during that time.
And when you leave out all of these intricate details, this data, when you leave out all this data, then people are left with a false understanding of the, like, how can you understand? That's why I study history. It's because how can you understand what's happening now if you didn't, if you can't, if you, you don't know what happened before? What happened yesterday leads to today, period. Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, it, like with the whole story, because if they tell the truth about Abraham Lincoln and the whole 40 acres and a mule idea, was to give the land back to the people who had it before. Because when they came in, you know, they started, you know, giving away land to people who had no relation to the land. And it was supposed to be like reciprocity, like the people that had it before was stolen.
Who is that?
I don't know who this is. Joshua Benjamin. He says, y'all are going back too far. Start your history on a positive note. Jackie Robinson, the Five Heartbeats, Michael Jackson, etc. I'm a percentage Native American, and I don't bring up that history. Go ahead, Pat. I want you to answer that one.
Well, obviously, Mr. Benjamin, you your perception of, you know, real life, you know, I'm not sure where it begins. You're probably a millennial, or, you know, Z, you know, you're probably more of a Z than anything. But either way, I mean, history is history. And, you know, in order to have context, the more of it gives you, you know, a bigger vision of what we have been, what we are. Now, as far as, you know, Native Americans, you know, I respect your position where you are in this country, but, you know, your relevance wasn't as strong as my history is in this country, or I shall I say our history in this country, because we created it. We allowed most people to exist in it. And then we've also somewhat allowed people to have their way in it without as that much of a fight. I mean, we've given up a bunch of fight in it.
He says, I'm a Gypsy, Eskimo, Cherokee, German Jew. I don't teach my kids negative history. That means you're leaving out a big, huge part of it, because
you're shorting your children. Like, you're trying to give a utopia of the world that is not real. And, you know, and you being closer to our age, you're saying you're 41, that really, you know, like, you not being honest with your kids about our history, you know, or even the state of the country in which they live in today.
I bet your kids got taught about the Holocaust, because they teach everybody about the Holocaust. I bet you your kids got taught about that. That was a negative history. And the reason why it was negative, and the reason why they teach you the Holocaust is because they don't want it to happen again. Okay? People, that's what you have to understand. What they say, history repeats itself. If you don't know your history, it's gone.
And we know based on history that a lot of the Native Americans try to, you know, because the United States was allowing you to have higher privileges than the people that was above you before, is why y'all didn't care about what happened to us anyway, as far as melanated people in this country. So, I mean, it's easy for a lot of quote unquote Native Americans, or, you know, some of these pseudo Indians, you know, shall I say, they didn't have a problem with turning their backs on us then, and it looks like you don't have a problem with turning your backs on us now.
Well, he says, I have heritage on both sides of the atrocity. You don't want them to hate a... He said, you don't want... Do you want them to hate a percentage of themselves? Yes, I agree with you. It's not about hate at all. It's about understanding us as humans and also understanding what happened. We have to know.
You're presenting one good part of what, you know what I'm saying? Like, as far as like us interbreeding with others is not the problem, because we all have done that throughout history. But the thing is that the more that we neglect the truths of our history, we're bound to repeat them. So by them not getting, you know, that other side of it, is actually hindering them to allow certain things to rehash themselves going into the future.
And their identity shouldn't be the past, Joshua. Love your name, Joshua, anyways. I love Joshua. Yeah. I love that name. But their identity shouldn't, they don't have to identify themselves with their ancestors, because they are not them. You know what I mean?
They are them.
You know what I mean, Pat.
Biologically,
You know, it's in their blood, but that's not them. They didn't commit these atrocities. They just need to know what happened, because that helps us understand this. You can't understand the state of the world. That's the reason why people don't understand when a black guy says, man, I get pulled over a lot all the time. And then white people be like, I don't ever get pulled over. It must be something that you're doing. You know, well, if you understood history, then you would understand why the black dude gets pulled over more.
Yeah. And the whole thing is to inspire these kids to, because these kids are not stupid, and they're already experiencing certain things that's based around race and all that, which, you know, we have to get away from. But if we keep ignoring, you know, the elephant in the room, we're going to keep, you know, getting stumped or trampled over by that elephant.
Exactly. And that's what the main problem with the United States is. We trying to put a blanket over a fucking fire. You know what I'm saying? If we, you know, we try to put a blanket over some smoldering rocks or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like, forget about it. Don't look at it. You know, I mean, we could do that. But at some point, guess what? That carpet is going to catch on fire.
Yeah. And that's what's been happening over and over and over again, because, like, you know, the system that we've been living in, that's where it began. It's like they're still trying to hold on to that heritage of, you know, where it all began. Like, I mean, if you saw the video that, you know, we just showed, it's very telling, especially with this lady, that, you know, she wants her kid to, you know, what, you know, see the ups of what, you know, what could be ups, but let's not show this part. So, I mean, the whole thing is, there's people who suffered from, you know, those ups that they had, and, you know, for you to ignore that and keep not addressing it, like, your kids are gonna potentially do worse. My kid might potentially do worse, because... Yeah, because, you know, like, honestly, I think our kids have the most potential to do right. But if we keep hindering them from, you know, acting as if they're not, you know, capable of handling the truth, because I think what they're going to do is take this truth and they'll actually work together more than we have with each other.
And I pray for that. His comment is, I want them to be colorblind. And I think kids are naturally colorblind, brother. They're naturally colorblind. The thing is, the system that we live under is not colorblind. That's where the problem comes in. We can pretend.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. God.
We can look at each other. I don't have no problem with white people, Asians. My child is half white. Two of my children are half white. My last child is the only one that's, you know, all black. Her mother was black. I don't have no problem. My ex was Hispanic, the chick I used to date very recently. I don't have no problems with no different people. We're humans. At the end of the day, we're all fucking humans. And that's what it is. But
But, hey man, don't make this. But, don't make this into one of those like.
Listen, right, I gotta make this point. We live under a system that separates people by color, and like I said in the other video, why don't we take it off the job application? Why is it on the census? Why do they ask you what race you have on anything on any document? Why don't we just take that completely away? What is the point of it? What benefit, you know, does it have for us to identify our race on documents?
Well, I can answer that easily. I can tell you clearly why they do that. Is it so that they can discriminate against certain demographics? Whether it's, you know, sex, you know, whatever their sex is.
You can't say
whatever their race is, huh?
And he's okay. His comment says, I was raised on base because my family was military, was all military. So I didn't know racism until I went to public school and we moved off base because my dad retired. And I can understand you not really seeing racism, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't present and it wasn't happening and it doesn't exist. You can't look. What you're trying to see it from is from an individual. You're trying to look at it from yourself or from, you know, from an individual. What we're talking about is a system that they call white supremacy. It's a system. It's the way the laws are set up. It's the way, like I say, the census. This is stuff that you don't have no power over. You cannot be racist at all, you know, love everybody. But your system.
Unless you're planning to separate your kids for the rest of their lives away from everybody else, for them not to deal with the things that, you know, because if they go into corporate America and they start learning these things at 21 years old, when they're leaving college, going into corporate America, do you know how much harm you'll be doing to them by sending them to that top? They're going to go through a whole shock system. They're not going to understand it. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be resentful to you. Because you tried to, you know, protect them, you know, and in your mind, you're protecting them. But at the same time, you're with the mindset you have, and your protection is actually harming them because you're not allowing them to understand the world as it is.
He says it's however possible.
He says
it's however possible to live in a non-racist environment, and I have to argue with you, sir. I don't think I don't think it's possible. I mean, we can create a world.
It is possible,
but right now,
I agree with you on that. It is possible, but we have to get there, and there's steps to it. We can't just.
We have to talk about it.
Like, I mean, have a dream about it and think that we wake up in the middle of it.
Yeah.
No, we're still here.
Freaking MLK's dream is deferred.
now think about by you not understanding those dynamics, because you're somebody who actually, you're saying that up to a certain period, I don't know what age you were when you got into the public school system, but then when you were immersed into this public school system where that's what everybody else is living, how did you feel? You felt alone. You felt like you didn't fit in. You felt like probably clueless and just didn't really understand what was going on, because at least understanding the dynamics, because we all had to teach our kids that we're, you know, everybody is human, but you need to, because especially like for us, you know, I'm not sure your skin tone, because I mean, we're all humans, but based on our skin tone, our kids, seventh grade, I mean, yeah. And oh yeah. I mean, seven, that's tough.
New York. I know you got shocked. New York is a
that's tough. I already know you went through some shit. So I mean, we can hope for this utopia. We pray for this utopia, but we gotta realize that we have to create that utopia.
And we gotta the first fight steps for it. We can't pretend that everything is all good and ignore history and just be like that none of this stuff really happened and it's all over.
Yeah, I mean, because there are some families that's teaching their kids that to watch out for these brown and black kids because.
He said he watched 30 Crips beat a white dude to death. Almost to death on the first day of school.
No.
Damn. And I believe it because New York is something else. And you got all the different, it's the gangs, you got the racial groups, you got the, it's a multinational type of city. It's an international city is what it is.
And the main thing is, I think through history, you learn more compassion because when you really understand the ins and outs of what happened, because there's a lot of things that, you know, that led to us being in the, some people into slavery and, you know, there's things that led to it.
And I like that word you used, compassion, because if you don't know what happened, you don't understand why people are like complaining, like about talking about the laws are messing, the police are messing with me all the time. You know, this keeps happening and this keeps happening. Every time you're going to be like, it's got to be something you're doing because that doesn't happen to me. You know what I mean? Racism doesn't really exist. So there's something you're doing wrong. You're missing a huge piece of the puzzle. And then you're not going to have compassion for that person who's telling you this story because you're going to think that they're doing something to deserve what happened to them.
And not just to say what they're learning in school. Just think about what the news says. You know, the media is, you know, kind of reinforcing certain ideas as well. So, I mean, do you turn the TV? They don't get to see any news. They don't have any knowledge of current events. Because, I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, impress certain ideas on all of us to see certain things a certain way, unless we have a different type of understanding of the root. And the root is knowing, understanding our history. Like, everything happens for a reason. Like, there's cause and effect, and all of the causes of our past brings us to this current state that is affecting us now.
It's so simple. It's so simple. And when you leave gaps out, then you don't understand how things are fully today. You don't fully understand how we landed where we are. And also, there's no possible way for us to move forward and fix this if we can't even deal with what happened in the past. The data is what's important. Everybody needs to be taught the data. It's data.
And I think that because of, you know, a lot of people who do understand history, like, I mean, we could be somebody who probably, you know, that could easily be stuck in the mindset that just all white people are bad. You know what I'm saying? Us understanding history actually allows us to see people more
exactly.
As people.
Exactly. Because I don't. And like I was saying all the time, there's no good guys, there's, you know, in the store, you know what I'm saying? Everybody has done something, you know what I mean? We all are guilty. We're all guilty, you know what I'm saying? So that's what we got to accept. We got to accept that we're all guilty, and then we got to talk about it, and then we got to say, how are we going to fix this? How are we going to move forward together as a community, as a human family?
Exactly.
He said, don't live in the past is how you make it work. You can't live in the now if you don't know what happened. That's what we keep saying.
Well, like, and nobody can live in the past because, I mean, that's an oxymoron. No one lives in the past. Everyone lives in the now with the hope for a better future. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't change the past at all. You know, I mean, look, you know what? I mean, when they figure out that machine, this, you know, supercomputer that's going to maybe send us back to some specific date. Okay, maybe that's still.
I don't think it's even possible. Yeah.
It's relativity.
He said you can move forward, but you can't really move back. And like the Lingalier says that the past gets eaten. So it don't exist no more once it's gone. So
how the fuck does that work?
Yeah, that's another thing.
I'm an asshole. Yeah.
He says, the funniest story I got with Doug's family is I stayed over one night, and the next morning his dad called both him and his brother by name individually into the bathroom. Shit was breaking. And what's the rest of the story? Because he was saying that he grew up and he used to stay over with his black friends and spend the night with them on the when they were on the base. So, and all of that's cool. And you're, but the thing is, Josh, what I think you're missing is you keep looking at this from an individual perspective, and you're missing the big picture of these things. I don't know if you saw, Josh, at the beginning of the video, I showed a very clear example of how the justice system or the criminal system deals with one person versus another. And there's the only thing that could have been the reason why they was treating them differently had to be race. You know, you could say money or class too. You can kind of add that in there, but the cases were very similar and the outcomes are very different. I think this guy, Kyle Rittenhouse, is going to get off. He's going to get a slap on the wrist. He said, I heard screams. I froze. His dad opened the door and said my name, and a little pee came out as he said my name. Then he just said morning and strolled on. Oh, he was whooping the kids. I don't believe in, so the first he said, the funny story I got with Doug's family is I stayed over one night. Next morning, his dad called both him and his brother by name individually to the bathroom. Shit was breaking. So I guess it was like a sound of some problems. I heard screams. I froze. His dad opened the door and said my name. A little pee came out and he said my name. Then he just said morning and strolled on. We all three screwed up, but I was spared. Okay, yeah, so that's how it goes. You know, what you have to understand in the black family, we don't we take care of our kids. We're not gonna reprimand someone else's children. I can't speak for other people's community.
But just think about, I mean, the community side of it, it has diminished because, I mean, even back, of course, during slavery times, like you try to reprimand, you know, and I'm not sure if it's white kid or really light skinned Latino, whatever. A lot of times, like the fear of what could happen to you for doing that with somebody else's kid is always a thought in the back of mind. I mean, I'm probably gonna tell you to, you know, you take your ass on home. Y'all done tore up my house. It's time for you to go, and you go. But yeah, my kid is gonna get it. But,
you know, yeah, because that's exactly how I would deal with it. I might call your parents. I might call your parents and be like, hey, kid was over here breaking up my shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't reprimand other people's kids like that.
He said he got him on the football field. Like he had somebody crash his helmet a few times.
Yeah, so they got him back. It's like, okay, yeah, you got us in trouble and you didn't get no ass whooping. We gonna make sure you get your ass whooping.
I agree with that. I don't know why. Hey man, let me fuck him off. I'm logging out. I'm logging out, bro. God damn it. Hey, man, first show tomorrow, bro. Good fucking God.
I'll check you out, bro. Have a good one.
Hey, Curtis.
Huh?
Breathe, bro.
Yeah, breathe, man.
I'm trying.
I'm going to check out your show tomorrow, bro. Send me a text when you're going on.
All right.
He said I was better off in the bathroom. So they got his ass on the football field. Good. You know, that's one thing I don't like about football. Like, I love football. I like to play it. But them damn hits, bro, I could pass on the hits, bro. I could really pass on the hits. I love playing football. It's fun. I don't like getting hit. Like, when your teeth rattle, when you get up and you see stars. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you get up and you think maybe something got did I pull something? Did something get broke? Did you know? am I okay? Do I have all my limbs? Yeah, man. That's one thing I play flag football and the dudes is real physical with that. We play flag football and they super still physical. He said I was crawling back home. They got your ass good.
Yeah.
Football is like that. It's Josh, like that because
I, you know, before I get out of here, I really want to, you know, I get where you're trying to go with things, but something that you need to kind of think about and, you know, maybe explore a little bit is that, you know, you're cheating your kids out of certain things that, you know, if you don't teach it to them, somebody else will. And there's, you know, it's better for them to learn it from you so that they can, you know, actually, like, you know your kids better than anybody else. And they'll get a rude awakening that, you know, you're going to have to deal with anyway, just like you had to deal with.
You're just prolonging the inevitable.
Yeah. And it's better that if you slowly kind of give them the, you know, show them, you know, when, especially when little things are happening, you kind of guide them along the way. So, I mean, if you think that they're just going to, just things are just going to be, it's not, that's not the way the world works. I mean, we all have to be intentional about the directions in which we want to see the world go in and for our kids to be prepared to deal with it when it arises, because they, if they understand that these certain things can happen, it might be easier for them to avoid these things when they're able to notice it, when they're able to see these certain things happening around them, you know, they can navigate themselves to where they may not get harmed in the middle of something thinking that everybody loves them. So,
like, something, you get gaslighted. And there's a story about a guy, it was a black kid who got killed, and his little friends, little white friends, they killed him. They, like, set him up. He was like, I want to say he was like a slow kid or something. And he thought they were his friends, and they lured him out to a freaking field, and they killed him. And it was a racial, it was behind racism.
Yeah, that happened in my hometown as well. Like, you know, kids that just thought that, you know, everything was, you know, great. I mean, this is way past slavery. This is, you know, way, you know, well, I guess there were some effects of the, you know, the black codes that was still in play, but he didn't realize that because his parents was, you know, wanted to protect him from that, and he ended up paying the ultimate price. And, you know, they bashed this kid bashed his head with a boulder out by the river, and they left him out there, you know. So I mean, it's a lot of things that if our kids are not prepared, it could end up in, you know, and maybe it's because of these examples that I'm able to see it the way I do. But, you know, all of us have to really take into account that, you know, maybe they won't be as serious as, you know, some of the things that I've seen. But, you know, either way, them being prepared is a better way for it to, you know, for them to be able to handle it themselves. Because they got to live their lives too, you know. So that's just something that you might want to consider, my brother.
Yeah. And it was a great conversation. And that's what we're here for. You know, that's what we wanted. This is what we want. This is the kind of, you know, this is the kind of recourse, or however you want to say it. This is what we want, because this is how we move forward as a country together, as humans, is by having these kind of conversations in a safe place too. You know, nobody is picking sides or you know, attacking, you know. We just want to focus on data, is what I like to focus on. Data, actual things, you know, and then you could take from it what you will, but the data is the data. We can't leave parts of the data out. Think about if somebody did a science project and they left some of the data out, how would that their results, how would that affect their results in their science project? So that's what we're doing by leaving out parts of history. He said he wants to keep them on a military base. That'll keep them safe to a certain extent, brother, but it's not going to keep them away from slavery, because from racism, because it's systematic. It's in the system. Like, each person in the United States can just be like, you know what? Every single one of us could tomorrow be like, I don't see color. You know, I'm not racist. I don't believe in none of that stuff. And I really don't do any kind of activity that would be considered racist. But it wouldn't matter because the system that we live under already has this built. It's built in. The racism is built into the system because that's how the United States was built. It was built on racism. And if you can't understand that, then that's the reason why you can't understand why things happen the way that they do here in America. You know, I can't speak for other places around the world. You mentioned race in the military and your discharge. That's why it works. That's cool, man. I'm okay with that. They should do that for the whole freaking United States. Like I say, why do we even put black, white, Latino, whatever on our damn census? Why is that on there? Why does your job application, why do jobs want pictures? Like all the good jobs, people out there, you know what I'm talking about. The good job is going to want you to have a picture with your resume. Why do they want a picture? Why do the names on the resume matter? You know what I'm saying? That's another thing. We can leave the names right out of the resume. What difference would your name make on the resume? You know what I'm saying? But it does make a difference because if they see Brown, they see Shaquita, they see Chaka, you know what I'm saying? They Daquan or something, then they're going to assume that that's a black kid. If they see, you know, Tom Delaney or whatever, they're going to assume that's a white guy. So again, we could just leave that off the application, off the resume, and they could consume resumes with no names. They don't need a name. They could just have the phone number there. He said, we agree on that. I think he's talking about the, just take the names off, take the racism off the freaking, the damn census. He says, tell them I'm an alien. My mom was ET side chick. I love it. And that's what I be saying all the time. I mean, you know, one way we could fix it is if we all call us niggas. If we all said we all niggas or we all black or something like that. Everybody is black now. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is niggas now. Problem fixed overnight. Are we all aliens or whatever the hell, you know? But the way the system is set up to benefit certain people. So that's the reason why it's not going to change with us just, you know, just not doing nothing about it and pretending that it's not there, pretending that it's not happening. As long as we pretend that it's not happening, then the things that are happening will continue to happen. The powers that be, you know, the SS guys in Germany, they were just following orders, you know, they were just following orders. It was just what they were supposed to do or whatever. They didn't push back. So some of them people got held accountable after the war. It, you know, like if you just got a order to pull the trigger to kill someone, at the end of the day, your finger is the one that pulled that trigger. You did that. So you hold a certain amount of accountability, even though you followed you was following orders. Because at some point, if someone gives me an order that I don't agree with, then I'm going to step away and I'm going to suffer whatever consequences that are going to be. If that means that they're going to kill me at that point, then I'm just going to take my death because I'm not going to do something that I know is wrong.
Yeah. Maybe I missed a little something there. I lost my sound. And
He said, tell them I'm alien. My mom was ET side chick. And then he says, people worship aliens. So they leave you alone being ET's offspring. So basically I was saying, you know, that's great. I mean, we can all be, you know, that's a good idea. We can all be alien. Damn, lost him again. He says, when someone cooks for you, they are saying something. They are telling you about themselves, where they come from, who they are, and what makes them happy. And that guy killed himself. That's Anthony Bourdain. So what I like to say is that people, the food tastes better when it's cooked with love. You know, when you cook for your loved ones, you know, you cook for someone that you really care about, the food is going to taste different. It's because you put love in it. He said, I went to in the army. I know all about your topic. I was forced into driving over a crowd or stop and see what happened to me. And we got to make tough decisions. We got to make tough decisions all the time. But like I say, if they give me an order, so what'd you do? In Iraq, they flooded the streets with women and children, then stripped the convoy. If you stopped, you weren't going home. If you stopped, you was going to die. I got you. I get you. You have to make tough decisions sometimes. But you know, what the hell was the United States doing over there in Iraq in the first place? And look at Iraq now. And I know a lot about politics, brother. My daddy was in the military. My dad was in the Air Force and my brother's in the Air Force. So I came from a military family, but I made a conscious decision that I didn't want to go to the military. From a young age, I had decided that I didn't want it. I like the discipline. I still have some really good habits related to things that my dad taught me that he learned in the military. So there's good stuff in it. But like, again, what the hell was we doing over there in Iraq in the first place? What were we doing? Why were we over there in the first place? And look at Iraq now. It's a fucking mess. It's a fucking mess right fucking now. Right now. I just saw some news coming out of Iraq with protesting and so forth and so on. Never fired my weapon and probably killed more than anyone in my unit with a damn truck. Damn, bro. I'm so sorry to hear that you went through that trauma, bro. I'm so sorry that they freaking gave you that order and also put you in a position where you had to make these tough decisions. You know, my daddy was a mechanic. He was he worked on the airplane. That's what he did too. Master mechanic. And my brother, they're both mechanics. So he worked, my dad worked in the warehouse and he ordered parts and shit. He was like an office. He was like a warehouse manager. That's basically his job in the military. So he didn't see much fire either. He told me stories about bombs and like hearing the bombs go off not that far from the base and stuff like that. But I don't think he saw very much like action either. I'm so sorry that you went through that, man. I really am. And you know, I mean, my heart goes out to you because you know, I've been through traumatic events in my life. You know, seeing dead people is not a cool thing to see.
Yeah.
He said I was 63B light-wheeled vehicle mechanic. Yeah, I don't know what my dad's I don't know that those details. Those if he told homers. Me I forgot. If he told me I forgot, so I don't know what his I don't know what his was. So did you see the comment that he wrote? That's what I'm talking about, Pat. He wrote here, let me put it back up. Wait, no, not this one. He said, I went to the army. He said, I went to the army. I know all about the topic. I was forced into driving over a crowd or stop and see what happened to me. Basically. And then he says, in Iraq, they flooded the streets with women and children. They stripped the convoy. If you stopped, you weren't going home. Basically, he would have died. So he had to make a choice of driving over these people or dying, basically. Yeah. Because if he would have stopped, they probably would have pulled them out of the vehicle and you know. But see, you know, the people over there saw you as the bad guy, you know, that's what, you know, and that's where the compassion thing comes in. You know, they saw the United States as an occupying force. So, you know, you really can't expect those people to, they were doing what they felt like they needed to do. You know, they felt like they were being occupied and taken over by the United States. So, you know, putting their body on the line, you know, was their way to fight against, you know.
Well, and you got to think too, I mean, everybody's experiences is what makes them who they are. And like a lot of the, like these people who were standing in the middle of the street, they're being used as pawns, because even though some of them really wanted to see their world change to something more like, you know, I guess ours, but at the same time, they knew if they didn't do certain things that they, you know, what would happen to them if they, you know, they didn't go along with the program. You know, as far as their existing government. So, I mean, and like I said, I mean, some of them probably even saw them as heroes, but at the same time, you got to look at all of the different things that's balancing in the act. You know, like, I mean, no matter how much you might have wanted to see the change there, you know, you're still, you know, they're still having to live under, you know, that other, that their own government, the existing government. But however, you know, I definitely, you know, my dad was in the services, and wasn't really like in the you know, as far as like a infantry or like in the line of battle such, you know, but he was in Vietnam, so he could have, you know, things could have happened bad to him. But either way, I hate to hear all that. You know, of course, I, you know, give my salutes to you, brother, for serving and, you know, being faced with those tough choices. We're going to face those to the end of time. And
he said, I threw a bag of MRE trash out the window and watched a crowd of men beat the little girl that picked up my bag of trash. I watched in the rearview mirror, absolutely disgusted. Cause you gotta try to understand from their point of view. I'm sure the little girl didn't care. She probably thought it was some food in there. She wanted to eat or whatever. But the rest of them was looking at it like, you don't take nothing from them people. You know what I'm saying? They're the enemy.
Well, there's many different angles we have to kind of look at that, because they could have seen that as being, that might have been a bomb. You know, that could have, you know, like, the, especially with the type of taxes they use over there. Like, I mean, they strap bombs to people and, you know, they know it's going to blow up, you know. But, you know, however, maybe they could have been, you're probably right, though. Like, that might have been the first thought. It's like, you know, don't take nothing from them. But, I mean, they drop off food there in the, you know what I'm saying? They was taking the food that they dropped off, for them during war, you know what I'm saying?
So they emptied the, they see, you say they wanted food and they emptied the bag. So why did they beat her then?
Because they wanted the food over her. Like, she, you know, they deserved it more than she does, as far as they're concerned.
I understand what you mean when you say the army truck drives away slow, bro, because you probably heard popping and cracking and screaming and shit. That's a traumatic ass event, brother. I hope you got some therapy from that shit.
That'd probably be a good idea. Anybody that served time probably should have some, you know, some way to, I guess, what do they call it when they send those people on missions and debriefing? You know what I'm saying? Like, they should have like some personal close up debriefing and remind them of, you know, the world they leaving out of. And
he said weed. That's been my therapy for years, bro. I had to let it go, though. I'm smoking cigarettes. It might look like I'm smoking weed on here, but I'm not. I'm smoking cigarettes. I had to let it go. But yeah, weed has been my therapy for the longest. I need therapy. I've been through some traumatic shit. My sister called me just out the blue. She said she was dreaming about me, and I told her, man, yeah, I've been going through it mentally. So, and then she was saying, you should get some therapy. I was like, shit, I can't even afford to get my teeth fixed. Fuck, I'm gonna go to therapy.
Yeah, that was my therapy from like 11, 12 years old up until my 30s. My shit.
That's a really, that's heavy shit right there, bro. Like, cause now that goes into mental health issues. And you know, that's one of my favorite topics. My favorite topics is homeless, people and mental health. Those are my two top things that I like. If I ever can do something for the community, it's going to be related to homelessness and mental health. And it's also going to have to do with like teens or people having like a community center, places to go, somewhere that they can go that is a positive place, you know, that they can go and feel safe and you know, not be in the streets and not be home either. Because sometimes home is they say home is where the heart is, but not for everybody. Some people's home is miserable as hell.
Yeah. With homeless being a growing population, you know, we definitely got to figure out something because, you know, some people want to be homeless and others really don't. But
I don't think there's anybody who wants to be homeless. He says, when I came home, I went through every religion looking for what forgives the blasphemy of murder. Man, don't even try to do that. You know what I'm saying? You was put in a position and you made your decision. So you just got to kind of leave it at that. You know, the best thing is to, for the future, right? You keep yourself from being in a position where you have to make some kind of decisions like that again. Make sure that you're not in a position to have to make decisions like that again. And try to keep other people from ending up in situations where they have to make decisions like that. You know.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the mindset that you began with is where you need to stay at with the whole, you know, on situation like that. I mean, you got to keep positive, and you know, you can't pretend like those things that you went through didn't happen. But you know, you have to understand that, you know, you can't start beating yourself up and thinking that, you know, putting pressure on yourself because, you know, you were put into some situations in which it would be difficult for anybody. And you know, one thing that I know most people main goal when they go off to war is that they can come back to their family. And I mean, that's going to be for you and anybody, even the people on the other side, that's their goal. And you know, if you have a more of an opportunity to make it back to your family so that you can have a stake in how they're growing up, I don't think that's a crime.
Look at this. It's kind of on the racial shit. Well, this one is, it says a history teacher taught her student Trump was still president. She has been removed from the school. And look at this one. Look at this one. So this lady is obviously a mix. She's obviously mixed race. She says, I was 4 when my daycare teacher pulled me aside and asked me if I needed help and if I knew who dropped me off. Her black dad had dropped her off at school. And then it says CBS News, how young is too young to teach kids about race? That kind of goes back to what we was talking about, the CRT in the video, because that lady kept saying it's too young to teach the kids about race. But look, this chick was 4 years old. Her daycare teacher thought, you know, she was kidnapped or something.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, somebody called my son nigger when he was like 4 years old. This was in daycare. So somebody's teaching their kids about racism, and for your kid not to be prepared to deal with the ignorance is just like, my son was so hurt. Like, he loves everybody. And then he's just like, you know, of course he was like, didn't know what it was, but he knew it wasn't love. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what do you do? Like, do you leave your kids unarmed with things that can protect their feelings? And, you know, because some of these kids are freaking brutal. And I mean, as they grow into teenagers, you know, you're going to be tested in all kinds of ways. Like, you know, you don't teach your kids to hate, but you do make them understand that there are people who do, you know, I mean, that's, I think you're doing your kids a disservice if you're not making them aware of the things that they're going to encounter in this day and age. You know, the things that
willful amnesia of sin, casting it as far as east is from west. I don't like that. It says that 420 helps with willful amnesia, you know, and that's what's happening with our country, brother. The willful amnesia is what causes trauma, bro. You have to deal with the trauma
One of the things that they used to teach in I don't know what they how they teach it now, but the first step is to realize there is a problem. To be able to fix a problem, you have to first admit there is a problem. And then, of course, then you take that problem and you hit it head on. You can't ignore it. That's just not going to do it. So, I mean, this is a whole, like, they're implementing new ways of us to think that, okay, if we just pretend it's not there, then it's not there. No, it's not true. It's actually festering and growing in some people's hearts and minds. And when you get to a point where you think it really doesn't exist anymore, then here it comes like wildfire in your backyard and you're trying to fight something that you don't think exists anymore. Like, you have to head on in order to truly, be able to know that you're working on or fixing this problem.
And let me tell you a story. You probably heard this before because you're in the military, and the military is actually really good about teaching history. But I think it was World War II. And there was a group of soldiers. The soldiers were coming out of active duty, and it was like they had mental, like they couldn't stand up, they couldn't walk, they didn't talk, they had psychological problems. But the army, the military thought that these guys were faking and trying to not go to war, like they were trying to avoid going to combat. And so, but they realized later on, because they finally got these guys to talk about the traumatic events, because these guys had been through trauma, and they started to get the guys to talk. And once the guys were able to talk, then their symptoms started to go away. Their symptoms started to go away as they were able to talk about, those traumatic events that had happened. They probably taught you this. He says, reliving running over a crowd of women and children doesn't help me. It ain't going to help my kids by telling them that story either. They would never stand in the driveway again when I came home. It's good to have a light humor with this.
You have to make the best of it as you can, because.
And I don't think I would tell my kids that story either.
I would.
But somebody else, like you're telling us now, you're getting it out now, this is therapy right here.
Exactly.
For 2 months after coming home, I went bar to bar beating people. Damn, bro, you're making me want to go to the bar right now. it's only 10 minutes. Shit, the bar is closing. I'm in Texas. The bar is closing in 10 minutes. You got me wanting to go to the bar right now, brother. Shit.
Yeah. Man. I ain't gonna lie, man. Like I really feel for you, but I do think that you discussing it with somebody that you trust, I think is a good way to help that, because for one, you have to let it off. Like, the longer you hold things in and pretend like it's not an issue, that's like one of those implosions that is looking to happen, or maybe a situation that happens that somebody pushed you to an edge, and then here you are, got somebody in the headlock and putting them to sleep.
My daddy had PTSD. He beat my mom, and I think that's part of the reason why he was a raging alcoholic when he came back, and he would beat my mom, and that probably because he had all that shit bottled up and wasn't able to talk about it, didn't have nobody that understood. He said forgetting contributed to being stable. Let me, you gotta do what you gotta do sometimes. So
grab something. I want to grab one of these ice cream.
Yeah. You gotta do what you gotta do sometimes, you know. But at some point, you're gonna have to, you know. But like I said, today you're getting therapy right now, brother.
And I appreciate you coming on and talking with us, man. Because I mean, you know, there's some. I mean, I feel like you trust us to some extent to even.